I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to open my sermon differently. You guys ready? There was this old guy who was, as he was old and aging, he was having a harder and harder time trying to plant his garden. So one day he wrote his son a letter because his son was out of town and couldn't do it because his son normally did the work for him. He said, son, he says, I really need your help. He said, I'd really like to plant a tomato garden, but I just can't plant a tomato garden. But if I know if you were here, you would help me dig this ground. His son got the letter in prison. That's why he said, Dad, dear Dad, whatever you do, don't plant the tomato garden. That's where the bodies are hidden. Long about 4 o'clock the next morning, the FBI showed up, the state trooper showed up. They dug up his entire backyard. That same afternoon, he gets another letter from his son, and he says, they should have taken care of everything for you. Pops, you can go ahead and plant the tomato garden now because that's the best I could do since I wasn't there. I tell that joke because, you know, last week we ordained that guy, man. We actually did the service to make him a pastor. Can you believe that? What were we thinking? But I love that man. Even though he's in Wisconsin and he's a Bears fan, I still love him. I love him because he recognized the gifts that God has given him and he put them to use. Because I promise you, listen to what I'm about to say to you guys, my family, being a youth pastor and in children's ministry is a calling. It really, really is. We all have a heart for kids, right? I'm still waiting. So let me preface that. As long as they're our own. Right? It's a fact, man. I mean, I'm not telling you guys anything that you haven't already confessed to the Lord about. I have said from time and time again, it has been God's desire for us to grow this church. Not just to grow it in numbers, but to grow it spiritually. And we're undertaking an incredible, it's a heavy, if to use things from today's lingo, it's a heavy lift. In today's culture, it's a heavy lift. But yet I look around this room and I see people that God has empowered in different areas. Things that God has given to each one of you, I know about, and I see you using them, but I want to help you understand a little bit more about this whole thing. So today, like you said, we're going to be in the parable of the talents that comes from Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is in a series of three parables, and it primarily was a talk to the disciples, talking about the coming judgment and what judgment's going to look like. What to do, what not to do. And so today, like I said, we're starting this men's ministry up. We're starting women's small groups up. We're doing great things. And today, we really begin breaking ground on all the things that we're going to talk about. Joe talked about money in the parable of the talents. And yes, the Lord did give them money, and I was thinking as he was talking that maybe we should have held off them plates until the end of service. And then I thought better about that because maybe when they hear it, they won't. So Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we're going to dive into Matthew 25. We're going to be in verses 14 through 30 today. They should be in your bulletin. If you don't have a Bible, they'll also be on the screen for you, and we'll break them out. We're going to read them, then we're going to break them out. Thank you guys for tuning in online today. I wish I could see your faces. Maybe someday. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, you are a God of grace and mercy. And yet, Lord, we know that the times are, this is a time of suffering. It's a time of struggle, Lord. And each one of us, we're facing challenges. And so, God, we invite you here today, Lord. We have heard of a number of things, a number of tragedies, Lord, that have just broken our hearts. Lord, we know that suffering is not due to anything but other than sin entering the world. So, Lord, we just come, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, man. Sometimes the fewest words are the best, right? You're like, man, you could end this sermon now. We'd be good. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. This is the parable of the talents. I'm going to be reading from the ESV, and that's what's going to be on your screen today. It says, "For it will be like a man going out on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability." File that away in your head, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. "He who had received the 5 talents went home at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent, he went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 5 talents here, and I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also had 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also received the 1 talent, came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken from him. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place of there will be gnashing of teeth and weeping.'" That's some harsh words, man. We all want to hear that good and faithful servant stuff, don't we? Amen. We certainly want to hear, "Away with you." If you've been in church for any amount of time, I'm sure you've heard this probably preached at least once, maybe even more than once. But if you're new with us or you've never heard of this, I want to give you a little perspective on this whole thing, about this whole money thing. So many times we talk about standing before the throne of grace, giving an account for every word and every thought. And we're mindful of that, but we forget about that whole, we're going to give an account for every action as well, or inaction. See, this parable focuses on three guys who got a bunch of change. They got some coin. Let's put it in perspective on how much they received, okay? Three pretty much denominations of cash back in the time of Jerusalem, right? We had the widow's mite. You guys remember this from Jesus with the two pennies? Actually, it wasn't a penny. It was about half a penny. Then we had the shekel. Shekel made of silver. Shekel was worth about 32 cents in today's times. If you were to look at it, there was a shekel. Then you had the denarii, the denarii. The shekel and the denarii was what was traded in the temple with the tax collectors, because, see, what was paid to the Romans as tribute had to be in denarii. You know how much that was worth? About 2 cents. About 2 cents. That was what was traded to Rome for the tribute. But then we have this thing talking about talents. Well, there was two other ways of trade back then. There was one called the mina, or mina, depending on whether you're using Greek or Hebrew, and the talent, which in Greek is talenton. These are weights. These are weights. The mina weighing about 18 ounces. You take a talent, it's about 75 pounds. So you can't really say that he had so much money, because we don't know what was in that talent. It could have been gold, it could have been silver, it could have been bronze, it could have been wheat. Depending on what was in that talent, what was in that talent would determine its value, but the weight never changed. So put this into perspective. It's not like in the old pictures where you see the three guys standing in front of me and he hands them a little bag. The first guy showed up, gave him five bags, 75 pounds bag. That's about 375 pounds. I'm sure he didn't just like sling it over his back and head on back to the banker. How many guys in here can pick up 150 pounds? Really? That's awesome. With a forklift? I'm just messing with you, bro. 150 pounds. And 75 pounds. That's a lot. But when you look at it, if you just look at it and say, the master gave them gifts, it helps us give some context and perspective to everything that's going on. So for today, this is what I want to tell you today. I want you to take this away from me. I want you to understand that God gives something to each of us. God gives something to each of us. Second, we're going to talk about what God's expectations are for what he gives us. And lastly today, we're going to talk about what faithfulness looks like to what God gives us, how we demonstrate our faithfulness. So let's go into the text. We're going to read verses 14 and 15 right off the bat. For God gives to each of us. For it'll be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, each according to his ability. And then he went away. I call your attention to that, to his ability, because I truly believe that God gives each one of us skills. To each one of us, God gives knowledge in certain areas. To each one of us, God gives us a certain amount of treasure. Not everybody has the same bank account in here, amen? So God gives us time, talent, and treasure. Time, skills, abilities, and treasure. Scriptures tell us that also God gave us this amazing gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good stuff right there, just right there on its own. God gave us this great gift of salvation. And here's what's amazing about this. The scripture tells us that grace was extended to us according to what? The treasure of Christ's gift. grace upon grace. When Christ gave us his grace, this is salvation, it had something that tagged along with it called the Holy Spirit. Right? So not only did we get grace, we received this power called the Holy Spirit, and within that power of the Holy Spirit, we're given spiritual gifts. Gifts of being an encourager or a teacher or a prayer warrior. Maybe you receive gifts of knowledge and wisdom or hospitality or administration. Everyone, what? According to their abilities. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. He says, all these are work of the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. We're a growing church. We do not have every skill, every gift that we need to grow this church. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He empowers everyone you in the ministry of the nursery, in the ministry of the toddler room. Y'all ain't buying into this at all, are you? Huh? Let me go back and read that verse from Paul again. See, God gives us what we need when we need it so that we can advance his kingdom. We may have natural skills, natural abilities, natural talents. My son is, where is my son? Oh, there he is. My son is gifted when it comes to music. Me? I can't carry a tune but a bucket. That's why I just kind of mouth. That's why I sit in the front row so you guys don't hear me sing. Really. If I sat back there where the Riggleman's are sitting, you guys' ears would probably bleed. But we're not given these gifts so that we can buy campers, or this is not the purpose of the gifts. The gifts that God gives us are for kingdom building. They're for kingdom building, for doing his work. And the Bible also tells us that we're also given a measure of faith. What? Bible tells us this in Romans 12:3. We heard it. Not for us not to think more highly than we ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Gift of faith. What else? The gift of faith so that we can trust in God, so that we won't be prone into buying everything that we see on TV or search on Google. You see, faith demands us trust in what God has to tell us. It demands us to trust. You see, does not every good and perfect gift come from heaven, from God? Huh? Well, let me ask you a question. Is every gift good? It is if it comes from heaven. If we take a look at ourselves and look at the things that we receive and we don't see them as gifts from other people or gifts from employers, if we see them as gifts from God, it changes our perspective on everything. It changes our perspective on everything. You see, we have to have this faith that everything comes from God, because why? God is unchanging. We have to have faith that we believe that are from a God who considers us his first fruits of creation. When we look at why God does things and we put ourselves in the perspective of God, when he created everything else, then he says, there's something missing. I'm going to make my greatest creation. I'm going to create man. And he made all of us, imagio Deo, all of us created in the image of God. Then does he not want to give us good and perfect gifts? Why would he give us the secondhand stuff if we're his most perfect of creations? We have to get into a habit, family. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. We have to get into a habit of understanding that the life around us is not things that we earn, but things that have been gifted to us from God. I'm not just talking about stuff. So these are, that's talking about what God, the gifts that God gives us. Now I want to dive into what that God expects us to do something with what he gives us. It says, each who had received, I'm in verse 16 now, it said, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. And so also the one with two talents made two talents more. But he who had received one talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts being judged. He came back for a judgment of what he had done. And he said, and he who had received the five came forward, bringing five more. Master, you have delivered me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Same thing with the guy with two talents. Here, master, you gave me two talents. I gave you two more. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I got up this morning to check the lottery numbers. I don't play, by the way. Mega Millions is worth $350 million. That's a lot of money. When I say $350 million, there's a lot of folks that will immediately default to, man, the things I could buy with that. Things I could do. Places I could go. Things I could do for my family. Man, the things, and I just... More often than not, the one thing I never hear when people talk about those type of things, I really hardly ever hear until the very end, and think of the things I could do for others. Think of the things I could do for others. But seriously, I also tell them, when you do win, make sure you give 10% to the church. And they always tell me, but pastor, gambling money's unholy. And I say, what God created can never be made unclean. I promise you, if you consider it unholy, give it to him and he'll make it holy. Seriously, though, what I see here, I want to talk about these three people here for a minute. They're all slaves, right? You guys follow that? You tracking on they were slaves because they were the magic and they were servants. Servant being doulas, doulas being service. Servants and slaves. Man, he gave them a lot. He gave each of them a different amount. And you know what you didn't see here? Thank you, master. How come I only got one when he got two and he got five? You don't see them bickering and arguing over how much they got, do you? Right off the bat, they accept what the master gives them. They accepted what was given to them. The difference is what they did with it once they were given it to them. What I see here is two of them faithfully knowing their master on one level. And I see the other, the one who received one talent, I see him knowing the master on another level. Two men knew and understand the value of what was given to them, because they knew the master in one way. They understand that the riches that were entrusted to them was out of who he was. Jesus said this, he said this to the disciples, and I'm going to say this, that we need to read ourselves into this passage. It comes from John chapter 15. It says this, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I have learned from the Father, I have made known to you. Everything that Jesus learned from the Father, he has made known to us. What a gift. He has given us this gift of salvation. He has given us this gift of the knowledge of the kingdom. He has given us the gift of knowing him and how to have a relationship. He has given us the glory that God had given to him. This is what theologian M.S. Mill says. He says, Jesus saved us to work in his kingdom here on earth while he is absent from earth. Bible says, the master says to them, well done, good and faithful servant. Who don't want to hear that? Tell me there's not somebody in here that every person in here, when they stand before the throne and they give an account, they want to hear the Lord tell them, well done. Well done. Because I want to hear those words. I want to be able to know when I stand before the throne of judgment that, and even though I had a time in my life where I didn't respond to God's calling, that I want to know that when I stand there, when I recognize who God was and what Jesus had done in my life, that when I stand before him, I can say, God, you gave me everything, and I tried to do it with the best of my ability. I used the gift that you gave me. Isn't that what we all want to hear? Isn't that what we all want? God, help me to identify the gifts that you've given me so that I can use them, so that I can use them the way that you want me to use them. Every day we get up and God gives us a new day. He says, talk to me. He says, I give you a new life. I made you a new creation. Every day we get a chance to be made new. The potter, the great potter says, we're all spoiled clay in his hands, but yet out of his great love, he molds us and shapes us into a vessel that is pleasing to him. I want to be a vessel that holds the living water. God, I want to be a plate. Make me a plate that carries around the bread of life. How about just, all right, maybe that's too much. Maybe the food thing's too much. God, how about just making me a lamp? How about just making me a lamp so that I can carry around the light of the world? So that I can shine the light of the world. The cover of your bulletin has a word that my brother talked about in the kids' moment, and it says this. It says, each of us has received a gift. Each of us has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. Remember, which we talked about, was grace measured unto us by Christ's gift on the cross. God expects us to be his vessels. He expects us to use these gifts. Finally, I want to show you how God sees our faithfulness. How God sees our faithfulness. He says this in verse 24. He says, he also had received one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter the seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent. Here you have what is yours. But the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew I reaped where I did not sow and where gathered where I scattered no seed. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from it and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, into a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can I just remind you, let's go back to the days of Jesus here. Let's just put this in context here a minute. You guys remember these folks called the Pharisees? Remember them? Tell me, what didn't they have? They had everything. They had been given the gift of God's word from day one. And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking them, because they were faithful with it. Amen? They read it. They studied it. They tried to live it out to the best of their understanding. They But what they did, they also didn't do. You see, they preserved it unchanged. They didn't deviate from it. It was this way and no other way. They had the writings of the prophets. They had the writings of Moses. They had the writings of wisdom and of they had all the writings. What they were given was not used well. They hid it from the people. They made themselves the keeper of the word. They wanted a religion without change or without risk. Tonight we're going to be talking about John the Baptist, and the Pharisees come to me and say, "Are you a prophet? Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? Come tonight." If we take this comparison to the Pharisees, where he said, "We want a religion without change," basically what it boils down to is like they picked up their ball and went home. They took their ball and went home. They didn't like where things were going. We'd take it out and we put it into a broader context. What this boils down to is it's like we like churches that are status quo. We like coming and doing the same thing. We don't want to take chances. We're comfortable. I was telling Tony the other day. I was telling you, wasn't it? I said, we all like change as long as we're not part of it. As long as it doesn't impact us, we're okay with change. Show me your muscles. No, I like this. Come here, Larissa. Come here. Thank you, everybody. This is Larissa. Come here, give me a hand real quick. Will you come and give me a hand? Show everybody how strong you are. That's some big muscles right there. What would you think would happen if we never used our muscles? We would get weak. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming up. God gave us his great things of muscles. He gave us physical muscles. He gave us mental muscles. He gave us all these things to do, to work the gifts that he gave us, right? And what happens if we don't use them? I will tell you what happens. Here's what happens when you don't use your muscles. You find yourself with a remote control looking at QVC trying to figure out how to open jars easier, close bag tighter. Amen? We've gotten so bad that we need little hands, those motion detectors to help us pull the paper towels out of the. Jesus said it. I'm going away. One day I'm coming back. Oh, let's just say that Jesus was standing before us today. He says, you know, listen, family, I'm going to give you one gift. I don't know. What do you say that gift should be? Oh, let's go back to my other analogy. Let's just say he gives us the light of the world. What you going to do with it? He tells us what not to do with it, right? No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The man got one gift, 75 pounds of the master's wealth, and he knew, right, like the man is a hard man. Man, if I don't do, it's going to be bad. And out of his fear of who he thought God was or who he thought his master was, he went out and buried, depression times, he went out and buried it in a coffee can in his backyard. Chose to hide the gift. I remember being a pastor. I can't remember. Got to be somewhere in Florida. Because it was a Florida man. So this Florida man came up to me one time and he says, Pastor, Reverend, he says, I'd love to help you out, but I've only got one gift. He said, it's the gift of criticism. I'm like, wait, can't wait to see where this is going. I looked at him and said, well, God said if you only get one gift, you need to go bury it. Take your talent and go away. See, the man knew he feared the wrath of the master, and yet he did make a decision that led him to experience that wrath. In the end, it was the man who buried his gift was deemed worthless and sent out into the darkness, place of gnashing teeth and weeping. What a horrible place for not doing what you're expected to do. This question, this parable asked, I get asked this a lot. Pastors, does this mean if we don't use the gift that God gives us that we're going to go to hell? No, it doesn't. See, because I believe, and I believe Scripture supports my take on this, that what's given to Jesus can never be taken from him. But it does lead to another question. Are you really saved? That's a deep question right there. Are you really saved? James says that our faith is one of gifts given to us by God, a portion to each of us individually as demonstrated by our works. So by what spiritual gifts and the gift of God's word will we be judged? You see, I see why this is a question and an issue about salvation. When we are saved, we submit ourselves to Christ's authority and we submit ourselves to Christ's sovereignty, and then we use the things that we have been given to glorify him and not ourselves. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of afraid of what God will do for us, but it's out of a delight for the gifts that we see. We see we have to change our thinking and stop being afraid to use what God has given us and be delighted, having delight and joy to use what he has given. We don't do it for our rewards. We do it because we know who God is. Well done, good and faithful servant. He says in verse 21, you have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Just let those words sink in. Enter into the joy of your master. For you have been given a little, now I will trust you with more. See how God rewards faithfulness? Tony, let's go. We're going to move into our time of response now. As I was preparing this, God really put it to me. Asking me, Kevin, are you being faithful with everything that I've given you? Are you being faithful? And it got me thinking back to when I was in that period of my life where I was, when I was wrestling with God and I was arguing with him and I didn't want to do, because let's just face it. With the exception of my wife, who I love very much, and I'm going to say this, and I think Tony's the same way. We don't like a lot of rules. We don't. And if we look at Scripture, and this is what a lot of people say to me, this is what I hear a lot. Kevin, I just can't come to this whole Jesus thing because I just can't buy into following all those rules. I can't follow all those rules. Well, do you guys struggle with that? You guys struggle with all the stuff that we're supposed to be obedient and faithful to in Scripture? Can I just ask one thing? Tony, you can go ahead and start. Give me a little intro music if you would. What if you just took one? If you were just faithful to one thing that God called you to be. If you just were faithful to one. And what if you found out that it wasn't as hard as you thought because you surrounded yourself with other brothers and sisters who would love you and help you? And what in the midst of following that one thing, you heard these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and now I will set you over much." Would you want to try a second rule? Would you want to try to be obedient to something else that God had given you? If you hear this and you felt that, and when you had the second one and you heard it again, and it goes like this over and over and over. For everyone who has, more will be given. You will have an abundance. So earlier I asked, are we truly saved? We have a fear to use what God has given us. Are we truly saved? As Tony and our praise team begin this song called Offering, I want you to ask yourself that. And I know there's people out here that are struggling with that question. I know that we do. I know we struggle with it. And I want you to know that I'm here, and my we've got people, we've got men and women that are ready to come up and pray with you and love you and help you in this walk. But you have to make the first step. You have to make the first step and say, Jesus, I am ready. I am ready to surrender myself to you. So that when you give me something, however little it is, I will be faithful with it. I will be faithful with what you give. Jesus is calling. He's asking you right now. Come and give him your response.